We read from the Holy Scriptures this morning from two psalms. First of all, Psalm 91. Psalm 91. And secondly, we'll read the 23rd Psalm. Our text this morning is found in the fourth verse of Psalm 23. We first read Psalm 91, which has a very similar theme as does our text, the security, the safety, the protection of God's people. We hear the word of God first in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And we turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thus far we read from God's infallibly inspired word. As I said, our text this morning is found here in Psalm 23, the fourth verse. Verse 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, sheep need protection. Bear in mind that our great and glorious God, in His infinite wisdom, created the sheep to be a picture of us, His people. Sheep need protection. They are quite a defenseless animal, quite helpless in many respects, requiring a shepherd. Our text for this morning brings back memories from my youth, growing up with sheep on my father's farm in south central Iowa, the Pella area. Sometimes a sheep would endanger itself, getting stuck in the mud by a pond, or getting its head stuck in the wire netting of the fence. Predators were a concern. Stray dogs or coyotes were a threat to the safety of the sheep. Just a few years ago, our son who lives in Western Canada, the Edmonton area, emailed a picture of a good-sized black bear that had been treed by the sheepdogs not far from the flock on the farm where his wife, our daughter-in-law, grew up there in Alberta. Sheep need protection. That's especially true spiritually of us as the sheep of God's pasture, those who by grace belong to the Good Shepherd. Nearly 2,000 years ago, David, the young son of Jesse, cared for his father's flock in the hills surrounding Bethlehem. And David encountered some very frightening experiences in defense of his father's flock. When he stood before King Saul prior to his encounter with the Philistine giant Goliath, David described his experiences. We read of that in 1 Samuel 17. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear." History records many incidents of shepherds encountering wild animals, sometimes thieves, sometimes having to surrender their lives in defense of the flock. The one difference between such accounts and the promises given by the Great Shepherd is that our Lord cannot ever be overwhelmed by any enemy. And that's why David, in this beloved, soul-strengthening verse, was able to find comfort, even though he knew well that there were many dangers ahead. From that point of view, we see a change here in the psalm at verse 4. Notice that up to this point, it seems the sheep has been speaking to others of the excellent care that it has received from its shepherd. The psalmist confesses that Jehovah is his shepherd. He doesn't want. He has no lack. The shepherd makes him lie down in green pastures, leads him beside the still waters. All his wants and needs are completely fulfilled. His shepherd leads and guides him in the way of everlasting righteousness. And in that way, his soul is restored from all unrest and misery. Up to this point, all seems bliss. There's peace, joy, contentment. But now, at verse 4, the psalmist begins, "Yea, though," or literally, "even though." David has pointed out that the Lord's protection and guidance and care are easily assumed when we are by the still waters, literally the waters of rest. But now he is emphasizing the fact that we may rejoice in Jehovah's leadership and protection, even though our journey takes us through the darkest and the most threatening experiences of life. And notice, too, that we see this transition here in the psalm also from the fact that now the sheep speaks intimately to his shepherd. The personal pronouns, I and thou, enter the conversation. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, our shepherd guides and protects us. We find comfort in Jehovah, the God of our salvation. It's in this light that we consider our text this morning under the theme, Protected by Our Shepherd. We notice, first of all, our need of protection, and secondly, our comfort in Jehovah. Both in the land of Palestine as well as on the larger western sheep ranches here in our country and in western Canada as well, most of the efficient sheepmen would endeavor to take their flocks onto distant, rich mountain pastures during the summer season. That often entails quite a long journey and quite a difficult and sometimes dangerous journey. The hill country of Judah is broken up by narrow and precipitous valleys or ravines through which one must go in order to get to the good mountain pasture. Those valleys abound with caves and dens which provide perfect hiding places for both wild beasts as well as robbers. There are dangers in the valley of rampaging rivers, flash floods, avalanche, terrible storms. It all makes plain what the psalmist means when he speaks of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's important that we understand at the outset that the psalmist is not speaking only about the day of our death. This text is often limited to that. And certainly this is a very beautiful, comforting word of God at the time of the loss of a loved one. But it's not so that in the previous verses we see that the wants and needs of this present life are taken care of, and that now, in verse 4, our text concerns only our death. That even then, our shepherd will take care of us. That's true, of course, but our text means much, much more than that. Not only is he with me when I will make that final journey, when I'm on my deathbed, but my shepherd is with me throughout all my life here on earth. And that latter is really on the foreground. The point is, all through this pilgrim journey, we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Bear in mind that all Scripture speaks of the fact that we lie in the midst of death, that we die every day, that we carry about with us the body of this death. David is not merely referring here to our physical death, but to all the dark and bitter experiences of our lives. Notice, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The text does not say that that's the end, we stop there, or that we die there, but rather, I walk through. And our walk is our life. Our whole pilgrim journey in the midst of this world, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of this in his prophecy in chapter 2, verse 6. Neither said they, "Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought, and, notice, of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt?" The psalmist uses this language too in Psalm 44, verse 19. "Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death." Clearly, the sense of this expression is a blend of imminent danger and possible death. Now, there are those who have tried to make light of these dark experiences. After all, the text speaks only of the shadow of death. It's been said that only fools and perhaps young children are afraid of shadows. After all, the shadow of a sword can't cut. The shadow of a dog won't bite. But one who has actually walked through the valley would not utter such foolishness. For where there is a shadow, there is also a corresponding reality. If I should see the shadow of a large dog with its bared teeth coming toward me, I would not remain still and at ease simply because I could not yet see the dog itself. Common sense would tell me that the shadow was being produced by something, and my suspicion would be that it was an actual dog about to attack. From this point of view, beloved, it's very dangerous to make light of the dangers and adversities that we encounter in life. That's certainly true spiritually. Satan, that roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he might devour, is a deadly enemy. Never take him lightly. The whole world of unbelief sets itself against us on every side. And we have from day to day to strive against our own sinful natures. That nature that would carry us as close to the danger as possible. Spiritually, the dangers are very real. I don't have to tell you that the adversities in our lives are very real. The afflictions, the sorrows, the hardships, the trials caused even by this present pandemic, very real. We sometimes ask, why do we have to walk this path through the valley? This frightening way through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, there are those who would answer, you need not. They preach a so-called gospel of health and wealth and success, prosperity. The Christian life, they say, is a bed of roses. If only your faith is strong enough, be not deceived. It's the valley of the shadow of death. We see before us increasing wickedness and corruption, violence in our land and around the world, abounding iniquity, the shadows of persecution, more than shadows in many places, but shadows of persecution also sweeping over us increasingly. Sickness and suffering and affliction, infirmities of age, struggles, sometimes deadly struggles with COVID, trials and troubles, death itself. Why are we led through the valley of the shadow of death? Of course, our earthly feeble minds cannot fully comprehend the reasons why, while we are yet on this side of the grave. But we are assured in God's Word that it is for our good. It is to prepare us for our place in glory. It is to strengthen our faith in our Shepherd and draw us closer and nearer to Him. It is to make us realize more and more our dependence upon Him. But really, it all comes down to the fact that our all-wise, all-knowing God, our Shepherd, knows that this is the best way. It's true with respect to sheep as well. The shepherd knows that the best route to the lush mountain grass is through the valleys, which are oftentimes dangerous. The valleys have the gentlest grades. The valleys are also where there will be springs and streams and pools of water to drink. Also, the richest grass, the best forage are to be found along that route through the ravines, the canyons, the valleys. The shepherd slowly but surely takes his flock, and he's well aware that there are dangers there. Predators like coyotes and bears and wolves, cougars, could take cover in the surrounding rocky cliffs. The valleys and canyons, as we've noted, can be subject to sudden storms and flash floods. But in spite of all the potential dangers, the hazards, the shepherd also knows that this is still the best way to take his flock. In this connection, I would remind you of another characteristic of sheep. In addition to being, as I said, a rather weak, helpless, defenseless animal, sheep are often inclined to give up quite easily. Little courage or persistence. And when they experience hardship or affliction or danger, oftentimes they simply give up. It's as if they're overwhelmed. They die. That's our nature too. How easily we can be upset, shaken up, frightened, panicked by the dangers and adversities of life. When the dark shadows sweep over us, the path we tread looks gloomy, we can be inclined to go into a slump of despair. We can be overwhelmed by a spiritual pessimism. Sometimes we just feel like giving up. Understand, beloved, that David did not speak of the valley of the shadow of death to strike fear into our hearts or to discourage us, but to remind us that our safety and security are found in our Shepherd. God never promises immunity from affliction adversity, sorrow, but he promises his people the grace, the mercy to endure, to overcome. Think of the testimony of the Apostle Paul that we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Recall how Paul speaks in that passage of the thorn in the flesh that beset him and troubled him greatly, whatever it might have been, but he had prayed repeatedly that it might depart from him. What was the answer to his prayer? And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And how does Paul respond? "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." We all travel through the valley of the shadow of death. The Good Shepherd himself assures us that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so the basic question is not whether at the present time the valley is dark or merely dim with the shadow of death. The question is, how do we get through it? How do we cope with the hardships, perhaps even calamities that shall come our way, also in the year that lies before us? The grand testimony of David in the light of all the potential danger was, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Notice carefully, he did not say, "I will encounter no evil." Such a statement would have been contrary to his own experience as well as to the teaching of God's word. David did not derive comfort from the weakness of the enemy. He didn't minimize the dangers. He did not derive comfort from his own inherent strength. "I can handle anything that might come down my pathway." Oh no. But he was comforted by the fact that his shepherd was with him. And centrally, he is with us in his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, our Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd has told us, "Lo, I am with you always." When we fully understand and lay hold upon the importance of those doctrines of God's omnipresence and his omnipotence, that he is almighty, and his faithfulness, there's always a sense of confidence and comfort. These lofty truths are not included in the Psalms to merely round out theological viewpoints, but they are there and throughout the Scriptures to strengthen the faith of God's people, to bring comfort. Think for a moment what it means to say with respect to our shepherd, "For thou art with me." One commentator gives a good illustration of the significance of this. He had been excavating ancient tombs at biblical Heshbon and had the opportunity to observe a rather large, dark cave at the bottom of a ravine. He had entered that cave with a light and a large stick and had probed its corners for snakes or scorpions, any possible dangers, and he had determined that the cave was perfectly safe. When a young boy from a nearby village came to watch his work, the man invited the boy into the cave. But the young lad refused to enter, noting the darkness before him, the uncertainty of the whole situation. The man encouraged the boy, reminded him that he had already been inside the cave and that there was no danger present, but nothing would change his mind. But soon the boy's father came by, and looking at the cave, he said to his son, "Let's go inside and examine the work." And to the man's amazement, the boy took his father's hand and walked into the cave without blinking an eye. Later, he asked the boy why he had changed his mind. And he simply said, "My father's here. I'm not afraid to enter the cave." And that, beloved, is precisely the sentiment of our text. We need not fear because our Father's here. Our Shepherd, Jehovah, is with us. Makes all the difference in the world. The presence of the Lord has provided encouragement for saints throughout the ages. When Jacob was at Bethel, the Lord promised, "I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." As Joshua stood on the east bank of the Jordan River, ready to lead that great throng of the children of Israel into Canaan, the Lord strengthened him with these words, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." When Jesus commissioned his apostles, he encouraged them with the words, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And that makes all the difference. Even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil. The presence of our faithful Shepherd is a source of strength and courage unto us. Look back upon your own life. Remember how the Shepherd's hand has upheld you and sustained you even through the darkest hours. Reflect on Father's faithfulness in every crisis, in every frightening circumstance of life. Has not His grace always been sufficient? It's not easy, and sometimes that is a very difficult lesson to learn. Christ's own disciples had to learn that lesson too. Think of their great fear when they were crossing the Sea of Galilee in that terrible storm with Jesus peacefully sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Jesus presently calmed the storm and rebuked his disciples. "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" The disciples had to learn that with Jesus with them, they had no reason to fear any of the storms of life that they would encounter. We must learn that too. Also, as churches, as we pass through this present storm, our Lord Jesus, our Shepherd, is with us. So with us as sheep, who may be attacked by predators or threatened by storms, frightened by the circumstances of life, by the darkness of the valley, we need not fear. Our shepherd is with us. And so the writer to the Hebrews exhorts us in chapter 13 of his epistle, "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." And as a further explanation and to further bolster our confidence, David adds the statement, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." What were the rod and the staff to which David referred? From the use of these words and the knowledge we have of Oriental shepherding, we can conclude that these refer to two distinct implements or tools of the shepherd. The common universal equipment of the ancient shepherd. A shepherd boy, from the time that he first would start tending his father's flock, would take special pride in the selection of a rod and a staff that exactly suited his own size and strength. The rod, in this context, was a rather short club or stick, which was the main weapon of defense for the shepherd and his sheep. A shepherd who had become skilled in the use of the rod could swing it or throw it with great accuracy. Nowadays, of course, the modern shepherd would have a firearm, a rifle, a shotgun to protect his flock from predators. I can recall my father going out sometimes late at night, usually with his shotgun, checking for coyotes, stray dogs that would attack the sheep. Some years, predators could take quite a heavy toll. The point is, the shepherd has a means of protection. With his rod, he keeps the flock safe. In addition, the rod was used in the shepherd's hand to examine and count the sheep. The Old Testament refers to this in the prophecy of Ezekiel, for example, in chapter 20, verse 37, as passing under the rod, passing under the rod. And that meant not only coming under the shepherd's control and authority, but to be subject to his most careful and intimate and firsthand examination. The staff, on the other hand, more than any other item of his personal equipment, identifies the shepherd as a shepherd. No one in any other profession or aspect of agriculture, animal husbandry, carries a shepherd's staff. It's uniquely an instrument that's used for the care and management of sheep, only sheep. It will not do for working with cattle or hogs or horses. It's designed and shaped and adapted especially to the needs of sheep. The staff is essentially a symbol of the concern and the compassion that a shepherd has for his sheep, whereas the short rod conveys the concept of authority and power, of discipline, of defense against danger. The staff speaks of all that is long-suffering and kind. As you know, perhaps, normally the shepherd's staff is a rather long, slender stick with a crook or a hook on one end. The staff, too, would be selected with great care by the shepherd. It would be shaped and smoothed and cut to best suit his own personal use. In addition to leaning upon his staff for support and strength, the shepherd used his staff in the care of the flock. Skilled shepherds of old could use the staff with its hook to gently pick up a newborn lamb that had become separated from its mother. And he would lift the lamb and set it next to its mother. He would use his staff to do this because a lamb with the odor of human hands upon it would sometimes be rejected by its mother. In the same way, the shepherd could use his staff to reach out and catch an individual sheep, young or old, and draw it close so that he could examine it. The staff could also be used for guiding the sheep with his staff. The shepherd could gently prod the sheep into a new path or through some gate or along a difficult route. With his staff, the shepherd could sometimes reach a sheep that had fallen into a hole or off the edge of a small cliff. And so we see that the rod and the staff are the symbols of a well-prepared shepherd, and they provide him with a clear identity. In light of Jehovah's sovereign power, the mere presence of the rod and the staff was enough to bring comfort to David. They symbolized the greatness of his shepherd and confirmed his identity. They represented to him the protection and the security that he so desperately needed. Even as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he had comfort, the comfort of belonging to his faithful shepherd. You have that comfort? The only comfort in life and in death, belonging unto our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, sent by the Almighty Shepherd to be our Good Shepherd and lay down his life for his sheep. Do you have that wonderful assurance of knowing your shepherd is with you? That calm, quiet confidence in the knowledge that he is there moment by moment and day by day, even through the seemingly insignificant circumstances of life, as well as during those times when the valley becomes very dark? He's there to protect us, to sustain us, to preserve us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There, yes, causing all things to work together for good for the sheep. That's comfort. Comfort that is ours with Jehovah as our shepherd, even through the valley of the shadow of death. It simply means that from the moment of our birth to the moment of our death, our covenant God is with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us, not for a split second. He cares for us to the very end. Because this is true, nothing can be against us. No one and nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. all things are for us. Even death is for us. Oh, yes. From a human perspective, death is very horrible, often preceded by terrible sufferings. And we know, according to Scripture, that death is the expression of the wrath of God against sin. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Death is part of the curse. No wonder the apostle refers to death as the last enemy in 1 Corinthians 15. But for the sheep, all this has changed. Death has been swallowed up in the victory of the cross and the resurrection of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. No longer is death the end. Death is the beginning of perfect joy, of fellowship with our eternal God in glory. He is our help, our shepherd. And he will guide us even through the valley of the shadow of death, and through death bring us to the glory of his presence. Then we see that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what the psalmist says is true. And as we sing of it, as we will presently from Psalm 77. Thy way was in the sea, O God, through mighty waters deep and broad. None understood but God alone. To man thy footsteps were unknown, but safe thy people thou didst keep, almighty shepherd of thy sheep. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Father, thou the great shepherd of thy sheep, grant us through the work of thy Spirit that we may rest in thee as we continue our way through the valley of the shadow of death. Even this day and the week which lies before us in all our earthly days, comfort our hearts that we may know that thou art with us also as congregation, as churches. May we rest in thee. We ask it with the remission of our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen.